Welcome to your GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your study tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating topics on the WJEC specification, development. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode has everything you need. Core theory, named studies, exam tips, and a quickfire quiz at the end. Let's get started. So, what does development actually cover? In WJE GCSE Psychology, this topic asks you to understand how the human brain develops, how children's thinking changes as they grow, and how our beliefs about intelligence can shape our success in education. You'll need to know about brain structure, Piaget's theory of cognitive development, Dweck's mindset theory, and Willingham's ideas about learning. You'll also need to know two named studies in detail, Piaget and Inhelder's Three Mountains Task, and Gunderson and colleagues' research on praise. Let's work through each area carefully. Part 1, brain development. The brain is divided into three main regions, and you need to know all three for the exam. The first is the forebrain. This is the largest part of the brain and includes the cerebral cortex. The forebrain is responsible for the most complex functions: thinking, reasoning, memory, language, emotion, and decision making. When examiners ask about higher cognitive functions, the forebrain is your answer. The second region is the midbrain. This sits between the forebrain and hindbrain and acts as a relay center. It helps coordinate visual and auditory reflexes, so things like turning your head when you hear a loud sound. It's smaller but important for connecting the brain's regions. The third region is the hindbrain. This is the oldest part of the brain in evolutionary terms, and it controls the most basic survival functions. Within the hindbrain, you need to know three specific structures. First, the cerebellum. Located at the back of the brain, it controls balance, coordination, and fine motor skills. Second, the medulla oblongata. This controls automatic functions like breathing and heart rate. You cannot survive without it. Third, the pons. This is involved in sleep, arousal, and relaying signals between the cerebellum and the rest of the brain. A common exam mistake is mixing up the cerebellum and the medulla. Remember this. Cerebellum equals coordination. Medulla equals maintenance of life. That CC and MM pairing should stick. Part 2, Piaget's theory of cognitive development. Jean Piaget was a Swiss psychologist who proposed that children's thinking develops through four distinct stages, each with its own characteristics. Crucially, Piaget argued that children are not just small adults. They think in qualitatively different ways at different ages. Before we look at the stages, let's nail the key concepts. A schema is a mental framework or category of knowledge. When a baby learns what a dog looks like, they form a schema for dog. Assimilation is when new information is added to an existing schema without changing it. So if a child sees a cat and calls it a dog, they are assimilating the cat into their existing dog schema. Accommodation is when a schema must be changed or a new one created because the new information doesn't fit. So when the child learns that cats and dogs are different, they accommodate, they update, or create new schemas. Equilibration is the process of balancing assimilation and accommodation to achieve a stable understanding of the world. Now, the four stages. Write these down. The age ranges are frequently tested, and incorrect ages can cost you marks. Stage 1, sensory motor. This covers birth to 2 years old. In this stage, infants learn through their senses and physical actions, hence sensory motor. The key achievement of this stage is object permanence, the understanding that objects continue to exist even when they cannot be seen. Before around 8 months, if you hide a toy under a blanket, the infant acts as if it no longer exists. After object permanence develops, they will search for it. Stage 2, preoperational. This covers 2 to 7 years old. Children in this stage can use language and symbols, but their thinking has significant limitations. The most important limitation is egocentrism, the inability to see the world from another person's perspective. Children assume everyone sees, thinks, and feels what they do. Other features include centration, focusing on only one aspect of a situation at a time, and animism, the belief that inanimate objects have feelings. Crucially, children at this stage lack conservation, the understanding that quantity remains the same even when appearance changes. Stage 3, concrete operational. This covers 7 to 11 years old. Children now develop logical thinking, but only when applied to concrete, real-world objects, not abstract ideas. They achieve conservation, reversibility, understanding that actions can be undone, and classification, grouping objects by shared features. Egocentrism declined significantly. Stage 4, formal operational. This covers 11 years and above. Adolescents can now think abstractly, hypothetically, and systematically. They can consider hypothetical scenarios, reason about possibilities, and think about their own thinking, a skill called metacognition. The main study you need to know here is Piaget and Inhelder's Three Mountains Task, conducted in 1956. The aim was to investigate egocentrism in children. The procedure involved showing children a 3D model of three mountains of different heights, colors, and features. The child sat at one position, and a doll was placed at a different position around the model. Children were asked to select from photographs which view the doll could see. The findings showed that children aged 4 to 5 years old consistently chose the photograph showing their own view, not the doll's view. Children aged 7 to 8 years old began to show some understanding of the doll's perspective, and by 9 to 10 years old, most children could correctly identify the doll's viewpoint. The conclusion was that young children are egocentric. They cannot take another person's perspective, supporting Piaget's pre-operational stage. However, there are important evaluation points. Margaret Donaldson and Martin Hughes conducted a study in 1978 using a more child-friendly task involving a toy policeman and a naughty boy doll hiding behind walls. They found that even 3- and 4-year-olds could correctly identify what the policeman could see. This suggests that Piaget's task may have been too abstract and unfamiliar, and that egocentrism may not be as pronounced as he claimed. This challenges the validity of the Three Mountains task as a measure of egocentrism. Part 3. Dweck's Mindset Theory. Carol Dweck, a psychologist at Stanford University, proposed in her 2006 book Mindset that people hold one of two fundamental beliefs about intelligence. Those with a fixed mindset believe that intelligence is innate and unchangeable. You either have it or you don't. Those with a growth mindset believe that intelligence can be developed through effort, practice, and learning from mistakes. These mindsets have profound consequences for educational behavior. Students with a fixed mindset tend to avoid challenges for fear of looking unintelligent, give up easily when they encounter difficulty, see effort as pointless if you're not naturally clever, and feel threatened by the success of others. Students with a growth mindset embrace challenges as opportunities to grow, persist through obstacles, see effort as the path to mastery, and are inspired rather than threatened by others' success. Now, the critical study here is Gunderson and colleagues, published in 2013. This is a longitudinal study, meaning it followed participants over time. The researchers observed parents interacting with their children at ages 1, 2, and 3 years old and coded the type of praise parents gave. They then followed up with the same children at ages 7 to 8 years old and measured their mindset and attitude to challenges. The key finding was that children who received more process praise focused on effort and strategy, such as, "You worked really hard on that," were more likely to have a growth mindset at age 7 to 8. Children who received more praise focused on ability, such as, "You're so clever," were more likely to have a fixed mindset. This is a crucial distinction. In the exam, if you are asked about Gunderson, you must use the terms process, praise, and person, praise precisely. Do not just say positive praise. That will not earn you marks. Part 4. Willingham's Theory. Daniel Willingham is a cognitive psychologist whose work focuses on how the mind learns. His key argument relevant to this topic is that factual knowledge must precede skill development. In other words, you cannot develop critical thinking, problem-solving, or analytical skills in a vacuum. You need a solid base of factual knowledge first. This challenges progressive educational approaches that prioritize skills over content. Willingham argues that teachers should ensure students have rich factual knowledge before expecting them to apply higher-order skills. In exam questions, if you're applying Willingham to an educational scenario, look for evidence that the student lacks factual knowledge and argue that building that knowledge base should come first. Part 5. Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Let's talk about how to actually score marks in the exam. The WJE specification weights assessment objectives as follows. AO1 is knowledge and understanding, worth 35% of marks. AO2 is application, also worth 35%. AO3 is evaluation and analysis, worth 30%. This means that simply knowing the theory is not enough. You must be able to apply it to scenarios and evaluate it critically. For 9-mark questions, use this structure. Start with a brief outline of the theory or study. That's your AO1. Then provide 3 distinct evaluation points using PE structure: point, evidence, explanation. Each evaluation point should be methodological where possible. Talk about validity, reliability, sample size, or counter evidence. Avoid generic statements like "this study is useful because it helps us understand behavior." Examiners will not award marks for that. Instead, say something like, "The Three Mountains task lacks ecological validity because the artificial laboratory setting may not reflect how children naturally interact with their environment," meaning the findings may not generalize to real-world situations. For scenario questions, where you're given a description of a student or classroom situation, you must explicitly refer to details in the text, quote, or paraphrase the scenario. Examiners are looking for AO2 application, and you will not get those marks without linking your answer to the specific scenario provided. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Confusing assimilation and accommodation. Remember, assimilation means adding to an existing schema. Accommodation means changing or creating a schema. Number 2. Describing the procedure of the Three Mountains task when asked for findings or conclusions. The question tells you what it wants. Read it carefully. Number 3. Failing to distinguish between process praise and person praise in Gunderson. This distinction is the heart of the study. Number 4. Giving generic educational advice instead of applying Willingham's specific theory. Always name the theorist and use their specific language. Part 6. Quickfire recall quiz. Right, cover up your notes and test yourself. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question 1. What are the 3 regions of the brain? Think. The answer is forebrain, midbrain, and hindbrain. Question 2. What is the key achievement of Piaget's sensory motor stage? Think, object permanence, the understanding that objects exist even when out of sight. Question 3. What is the difference between assimilation and accommodation? Think. Assimilation is adding new information to an existing schema. Accommodation is changing or creating a schema to fit new information. Question 4. In Gunderson et al., what type of praise was linked to a growth mindset? Think, process praise. Praise focused on effort and strategy. Question 5. According to Willingham, what must come before skill development? Think, factual knowledge. Question 6. What was the conclusion of the Three Mountains task? Think, young children are egocentric. They cannot take another person's perspective. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and reread that section before your exam. Summary and sign off. Let's bring it all together. The development topic asks you to understand the brain's 3 regions and their functions, Piaget's 4 stages of cognitive development with precise age ranges and key concepts, the named study of Piaget and Inhelder, and how to evaluate it, Dweck's fixed and growth mindset theory, and the Gunderson study on process versus person praise, and Willingham's argument that factual knowledge precedes skill. In the exam, always use precise psychological terminology, apply theories directly to scenarios, and evaluate with methodological critique rather than generic statements. Structure your longer answers using PEE, and always include a clear conclusion. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and remember, every mark you earn is the result of the effort you put in. That's the growth mindset in action. See you in the next episode.